Well, just looking back over the course of the past week, we've still got this very strong rally running through bond markets, and it's coinciding with strength running through equity markets and most other risk assets as well. Really unusual in the sense that it's all been driven by expectations that official interest rates have peaked and are going to come down fairly promptly as we go into 2024. It goes against the grain of just about everything that most of the central bankers are saying. Yes, they're saying that we may have got to a peak in terms of official interest rates, but every single one of them is saying we've got to keep these rates higher for a fairly protracted period. It's going to be a long and bumpy road getting inflation down. And when we look at the data in the US last week, there's not a lot in that data which really suggests that we should be getting these very, very strong rallies running through the bond market. So one or two of the leading indicators, a little bit on the soft side. So, for example, we had new home sales came out of the United States for the month of October. After rising by 6.6%, going back to September, there was a bit of a give back on that, and they fell by 5.6%. We also had the November ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. That came in exactly the same as it did the month before, around the 46.7 mark. And that really needs to get down to 42s, 43s to suggest really weak growth ahead, which would ratify why these bond markets are rallying and expecting at least a full percentage point of interest rate cutting over the course of next year now. Initial jobless claims, looking at the jobs market in the US, after we got up to the 230,000s going back a week or two back, these are back down at around very tight levels. So going back to the most recent week, there was a little bit of a lift, but it's 218,000 from 211,000 going back the week before. Also, we had the October core personal consumption expenditure deflator, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. Unlike the CPI, which was a little bit better than expected, this came in spot-on expectations and didn't show such a dramatic fall running through the inflation rate. So it came in at plus 0.2% month on month. That brought down the annual inflation rate to 3.5% from 3.7%. At 3.5% year-on-year, still a long way north of the Fed's 2% inflation target. And also we had a revision to Q3 GDP. And this showed that as recently as the third quarter, growth was really strong. The initial figures for Q3 GDP came in at 4.9% annualized growth. It was expected to stay around that level on revision, but it was actually revised upwards to 5.2% annualized growth. It's a long time since the US has had growth anywhere near that strong. And so it's a very, very strong past growth outlook. And also we had the November Consumer Confidence Index came out. And that actually lifted, went up to 102 from 99.1 going back the previous month. So the data reports over the last week, they're mixed in part, but they're certainly not consistent with, we've got much weaker growth that's going to bring inflation clattering down over the course of next year. Let's get into bonds with their ears pinned back. These rates are going to come clattering down. It just doesn't suggest that. So watching into this week to see whether it will make any difference. And some of the factors we've got coming this week, we've got the November ISM non-manufacturing PMI. This is the biggest part of the US economy, counts for 90% of the total economy. And the previous month it was 51.8. It's expected to actually lift to 52. So it's above the 50 expansion contraction line. Later in the week, on Friday, we get the non-farm payrolls report, and this one still looks pretty firm. So average hourly earnings are expected to rise by 0.3% month on month. That would only drift down the annual growth in wages to 4% from 4.1%. Non-farm payrolls are expected to be a little bit stronger than the previous month, up 175,000 after being up 150,000 the month before. And the unemployment rate is expected to stay at 3.9%. So depending on where those figures come in, if we around that mark or stronger, there should be a cautionary tail in that. We'll wait and see to see how the market takes some of these figures as we go through the course of the week. Moving to China, and last week there, we had their manufacturing PMI came out. We also had the non-manufacturing PMI. The manufacturing PMIs, the official one and the Kaixin one, went slightly differently. So the official manufacturing PMI came down one notch to 49.4 from 49.5. But the Kaixin manufacturing PMI actually lifted to 50.7 from 49.5. So it suggests there's a little bit of growth running through there in China. The non-manufacturing PMI, the official one, was at 50.6, came down slightly to 50.2. So it's hovering there on the expansion contraction line. This week in China, we'll get exports and imports. Exports going back a month ago were down 6.4% year on year. Expected to be down a little bit less than that for the most recent month. Imports rose by 3%, expected still to be up for the most recent month. And we'll also get their November CPI and producer price index. The November CPI, going back a month ago, was minus 0.1% month on month, minus 0.2% year on year. You know, China's the odd economy out, loads of spare capacity, and it's showing in their inflation indicators. It's still going to be in slight deflation when we get these most recent figures, and suggests that there's still room for the Chinese to boost economic activity a little bit further. Australia last week, and it's really bizarre the figures we're getting at the moment out of Australia. If you're looking at the labour force data, wage data, it would be almost a lay-down mazette that the Reserve Bank would have to raise rates again this week. But that was tempered last week by the retail sales figures for October and the October CPI. Retail sales were expected to be up 0.1%. They fell by 0.2%. That was after a pretty strong 0.9% rise the month before. The October CPI, mostly because of transportation costs coming down, but that came back to 4.9% year-on-year. It was expected to be 5.2%, down from 5.6% year-on-year the month before. Those figures suggests that there's room for the Reserve Bank to sit on its hands for this month. But it still makes it highly likely that they're probably going to have to raise rates again at their first meeting next year in February, depending on what the data shows as we go through the following 2 months. Remembering that we've got a long break before the Reserve Bank meets again after the meeting this week. So cautiously on pause, market thinks it's absolutely on pause, but the run of data here is still indicative that the Reserve Bank may have more work to do. Some of the other data that came through later in the week was on the firmer side. We had Q3 construction work done. It was expected to be up 0.3% over Q3. It was up 1.3% after being up 0.4% the quarter before. October home building approvals, after falling 4% going back to September, there was an expectation that home building approvals would pick up a little bit, perhaps by 1.4%. They lifted by 7.5% and are now at their strongest level in 5 months. Goes against the grain of what you hear normally about what's happening in the home building industry. But again, this little bit of revival starting to run through. We had Q3 private CapEx data came out. And again, a 0.6% quarter-on-quarter increase after an upwardly revised 3.4% increase going back the quarter before. We also get the forward estimate in there of what businesses are expecting to spend in this current financial year. This is the fourth estimate, and it's lifted more than it usually does to $171.2 billion. It's up 8.5% on the estimate going 3 months ago. So there's still some signs of a lot of life running through the Australian economy, if anything, even reviving. But there's enough in just two figures, retail sales and the October CPI, perhaps to keep the Reserve Bank on pause this week. But it's certainly not the lay-down misere. The Reserve Bank's done. Yeah, they'll be dropping rates when we get into next year that was there, it's there in the market. And there's even a suggestion of that in the OECD report. Remembering that the OECD report is written by Commonwealth Treasury here. And Commonwealth Treasury, of course, would like to see interest rates coming down at the end of next year. So if you went back to the IMF report, which is written independently, they were saying that interest rates would have to go up here. So again, these differences between different agencies when they're looking at Australia. This week in Australia, lots of data and the Reserve Bank. So the data reports, early in the week we get business inventories, company profits, both of those are going to be soft. We get Q3 current account, that'll be a softer one too. Probably means there won't be too much contribution from net exports to growth. Q3 GDP though, we've had two quarters this year where GDP has grown 0.4% each quarter. Back a touch from that to 0.3, that will just bring the growth rate down a little to 1.7 from 2.1%, but it's still a positive annual growth rate. Reserve Bank decision on Tuesday, well, they're probably going to be on pause, but I think there will still be a tailpiece in that, they're still prepared. They've got low toleration for inflation, higher than their target, or staying higher than their target for longer. So there'll still be an indication that there may be another rate rise ahead, and I suspect there will be when we get through to February. Moving to Europe, and Europe, economic growth is much weaker in Europe than elsewhere. Already they're in the early stages of recession, and you can see it in their inflation readings. Their November preliminary CPI came down to 2.4% year-on-year from 2.9% going back the month before. And their core CPI, taking out food and energy prices, came down to 3.6% from 4.2%. You know, compare and contrast that with our 4.9%. You know, we're a long way north of that, but we got much stronger growth here than Europe's got running through their economy. The unemployment rate still holding relatively low, and that came in at 6.5% for October, the same as the month before. In November, business and consumer confidence actually lifted a little to 93.8 from 93.3. But broadly speaking, weak growth, Europe has more reasons than most to be able to keep interest rates on hold. And this week in Europe, we got some retail sales data, a revision to Q3 GDP. It's not going to look any better. Their GDP, remembering what we're saying about Australia, we're looking at 0.3%, 1.7% year-on-year. Their revised GDP is likely to be minus 0.1% quarter-on-quarter, only plus 0.1% year-on-year. You know, that's the difference. If you've got really weak growth like that, yeah, you've got more hope that inflation can come down. But that's not the story for either Australia, dare I say, for the United States. And that's where these rallies that we've seen, very strong rallies running through the bond market, not only quirky, but appear to have pushed too far and are very vulnerable to any firmer data that suggests that the central banks have a little bit more work to do.